This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
For this month's Job Bite, I'm interviewing Dr. Joe Zuntz, and you are the first person to be interviewed twice for a Job Bite.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Flattering. I know I was your second choice, though, so...
That's not true. Well, it might be. So you spoke the first time about your work with the Dark Energy Survey. And now I believe you've got a few results for us. So first of all, maybe could you just recap what the Dark Energy Survey is all about?
Yeah, so the Dark Energy Survey is a big international collaboration, about 300 people. It's got people from all over the world in it, especially a bunch of people in the UK and the US and Spain and all over. And the survey built a telescope, or built a camera, should I say, or and helped rebuild a telescope in Cerro Tololo in Chile, which is an optical telescope. It's going to do a survey of a huge part of the sky. So it's a wide field survey. So it's not looking at individual objects. We don't care about individual stars or galaxies. We're looking at wide fields. So we're trying to take really big images of a huge chunk of sky. And the goal for the whole 5 years of the project, or 6 years of the project, is to take an image of about an eighth of the sky. So that's 5,000 square degrees.
That's a lot.
That's a very big chunk of sky. So the moon, for reference, is about half a degree across. So it's about a quarter of a square degree. So we're looking at many, many thousands of times bigger than the moon.
And how deep into the universe are you looking?
One of the goals of the project is to look at very, very distant galaxies. Our typical galaxy is what we call redshift 0.8. So redshift 1 is about half the age of the universe, not exactly, but, you know, give or take. So it's we're looking at things that are a big chunk of the way through the history of the whole universe. So we're looking very, very far back in time.
So the distances are then directly related to how long ago you're seeing things.
Exactly. So as always in cosmology, when you're looking at very distant objects, you're also looking back in time just because the light has taken time to get from it to you. So we're tracking both how the universe varies across the sky, so we're having a big area, but also how it varies throughout time. So we're trying to make a kind of history of the universe as well as a map. It's kind of those two at the same time.
And so in this galaxy survey, where does dark energy fit into the picture?
So it's in the name, so you know it's involved somehow. Dark energy is the phenomenon by which we've observed in the last 15 years or so that the universe is not just expanding, it's accelerating. We've known for about 100 years that the universe is expanding, but we always assumed it would kind of start to decelerate as gravity pulled it back together again. That turns out not to be true. We don't really have any idea why. There's lots of theories, but nothing kind of concrete yet about why this is happening. What we can do is try and measure how fast it's accelerating. When did the acceleration begin? Questions like that. Does the acceleration smooth, or is it, you know, different in different places? Those are the kinds of questions we can ask. And we call this phenomenon dark energy just to kind of give a placeholder name for it, really, until we can figure out what it is properly. Now, the acceleration of the universe has a knock-on effect on the matter in the universe. So the history of the universe is one of collapsing structures. So the very, very early universe, everything was very boring. Everything was just a kind of thin mist of matter all over the place, plasma. But over the last 13 or 14 billion years, that plasma, that matter, has collapsed down and clustered into what we now today see as galaxies, clusters of galaxies, stars, planets, people, that kind of stuff. The rate at which that happens, the way in which that happens, is a marker of, or a very good tracer of, how the wider universe is behaving. So if the whole universe is blasting apart very, very quickly, that kind of slows down that clustering process, because all the individual stuff is kind of pulled apart a little bit by the expansion, even though it's kind of pulled together by gravity. So if we can track how structure has grown, how fast have galaxies been pulled together, how fast have clusters of galaxies grown, that kind of thing, over the course of the last about 8 billion years, which is roughly when we think dark energy started to appear, or a bit higher than that. If we can track that history, so if we can measure how dark matter and ordinary matter have grown and clustered together, that's kind of indirectly tells us about how the universe has been accelerating and expanding over that time.
So how do you look at that? Are you looking at the shapes of the galaxies or the colours of the galaxies?
So we have a bunch of different probes. That's one of the cool things about our survey, is that we actually measure a lot of different things at once. The final results will be a mixture of all those things kind of put together. So we have some supernova measurements, which tell us how fast the universe is expanding, because we know how bright they are and we can see how far away they look. We have galaxy positions, so that's just sort of saying, well, we can see clusters of galaxies and groups of galaxies. That's a kind of measure of where the underlying matter around those galaxies is. But the particular thing I'm focused on, and the thing that we've released recently, is something called lensing. In lensing, we have the only way we know of looking at dark matter not quite directly, but as directly as you can with something that's essentially invisible. And that is that the only way we are absolutely sure that dark matter interacts is by gravity, because that's how we detect it in the first place. And because that's how we detect it, that's also how we can map it and how we can measure its position in the universe. So essentially, we look for very, very distant galaxies that are behind all the matter we're interested in, and we look at how the light from those galaxies has been distorted, how it's been twisted, and in particular how those galaxy shapes have been sort of squashed or sheared, or we call it, by the gravity between us and them. So if we can measure how much galaxies have been distorted, this means measuring the shapes of galaxies, if we can measure those shapes accurately enough, then we can make a sort of 2.5-dimensional map of dark matter. Well, strictly we're making a map of gravity, but we think we understand how gravity and dark matter relate to each other.
So you should probably mention the dark matter and the dark energy here. A different thing.
Yeah, so they're both dark, but that's pretty much all they have in common, apart from being a bit mysterious. Dark matter is a invisible sub. It's very clearly a substance. We know it clusters. We know it kind of pulls together under gravity. Substance which we, as far as we know, and we're pretty sure about this, this is one of the less ambiguous things. Dark matter is much less mysterious than dark energy. Dark matter is a bit more solid, because we've seen it in lots of different ways. So we're pretty sure dark matter is real, and it forms a kind of skeleton of structure in the universe. So most of the matter in the universe is dark, and the visible matter, like we're made of and the sun is made of and the stars and galaxies, sort of follows the dark matter around. So the dark matter is most of it, so it has the most gravity, it's the strongest effect, and everything else sort of follows it and falls into the gravitational fields of this dark matter.
So then you're actually using the light from the normal matter, mm-hmm. as changed by the gravity of the dark matter, to tell you about the effects of dark energy.
Exactly. So it's a real combination of things. And that's one reason it's very powerful, because we're not just looking at one effect. We're looking at sort of the interplay of different things, which is the clustering behaviour of dark matter and gravity and the expansion effect of dark energy at the same time. So we're looking at both the expansion rate of the universe and the clustering of matter at the same time. And that's one reason it's a very powerful technique.
So what are the first results from the dark energy survey?
So we released our first set of results very recently. There are lots of different statistics you do, and lots of different measurements and interpretations we make of this kind of data. Ultimately, we want to start to constrain the parameters of the universe, and that's what we'll be doing quite soon. I have a meeting next week where we're going to go and try and hash that out more carefully. But one of the first things we can do is make a map, just pretty much directly, make a map from all these distortions. We can make a gravitational map of the chunk of sky that we're looking at. So we've not done the whole survey yet. The whole survey is over the next probably 3 years now. But what we do have is the first year of data. So we can call it our verification year. So it was when we were sort of testing the telescope, making sure everything's working okay. So it's not the best data we're going to get. It's the kind of, things were a little bit dodgy. There was a little bit of a problem with the air conditioning in the telescope, which sounds like it's very, just a complaint, but actually that's the effect on how the galaxies can be measured, because we have to have very, very good precision measurements. And if there's all these air currents going around, that can damage things. But we've, from our very early data, we've made a map of a small patch of our sky. So I told you that our full map is going to be 5,000 square degrees, or an eighth of the sky. Our current map is just 150 square degrees, so just a much, much smaller chunk that we've gone into just in our very, very early phases. So that's what we've finished analysing so far. And it's taken us a long time, longer than we'd hoped, but we got through it in the end. And we've managed to turn that into a map of where the matter is, and where the gravity is, and hopefully where the dark matter is in this small chunk of sky. And the nice thing is that seems to correlate very nicely with where the galaxies are. So we sort of expect the position of galaxies to correlate with the position of dark matter, because we think the galaxy should follow the dark matter. So where there's lots of dark matter, there should be lots of galaxies, and vice versa. And it's not a perfect one-to-one matching for various interesting reasons, which is why we need to do these surveys in the first place, because otherwise we could just look for the galaxies and say, okay, there's one, that's where the dark matter is. But this kind of map will help us understand that kind of relationship between where galaxies are and where dark matter is. So that's one of its functions. It's also going to help us understand our data more carefully. So there are all kinds of things that can contaminate what you're measuring. In astronomy in particular, and lots of parts of science, you're not really measuring the thing you really want to measure. Lots of other things get in the way, or they mess things up, or they distort everything that's going on. So we can use this map as a kind of check on those kind of distortions. We can say, okay, well, let's look at this map. Does it correlate with the date that the image of that part of the sky was taken? Is it true that any time we were looking low in the sky as opposed to high in the sky, we get a different result? We can make that kind of test. So it's a very useful test for that kind of thing as well. That's not the sexy science, but that's the meat of the whole thing that we care about. So it's going to do all these things, and so it's a very, very exciting piece of work, and we're very pleased to have released it.
And is the effect of dark energy apparent?
So in this early data, this kind of first year of data, we're not going to see dark energy. We're not really going to make a strong constraint on dark energy at this stage. We may get a very mild sort of measurement with a huge statistical error. So, but we're certainly not going to get anything particularly strong with this early data, no. We have to sort of wait for that for future data. And that's a very big process. We have to measure the sort of statistics of these, of a sort of giant version of one of these maps. We have to say, how big are these lumps of dark matter? How, you know, throughout time, and if we have to chop up our map into different slices throughout distance into space, so we have to say, okay, here's a map of the local universe, here's the slightly further away, here's the very distant universe, we have to do that as well. So our early data, we should be able to constrain, and we're working on this right now, we should be able to constrain not so much dark energy, but the amount of dark matter in the universe, the amount of clustering of that dark matter. We'll be able to constrain that to some extent, because that's a kind of very direct, has a very strong effect on our data. Dark energy has a relatively indirect and fairly, not weak, but also not particularly precise. It has a very general effect, but not a very specific one. Whereas the amount of dark matter, you know, really changes our results completely, or what you would predict for the results completely. So we're hoping to get that out in the next few months as well. And that's a particularly exciting area because there seems to be a bit of a kind of confusion or a little bit of disagreement between different kinds of cosmological data about what these numbers should be. So basically, when we look at the very, very distant universe with the microwave background and the sort of primordial universe, we see more structure and more matter than we're expecting when we compare it to the local universe, the small-scale universe. So there's a little bit of confusion there, and that could be nothing. That could just be, most data is wrong in some way. It could be that that's just a mistake, or it could be just, you know, statistical fluctuations. Or it could be something a bit more interesting that's telling us about how the universe has changed throughout its history between these very early times and very late times. So we're really hoping that we can sort of shed some light on that and see whether we agree with whether our data, you know, backs up one of these stories or the other.
Great. Yeah, it's fascinating that the dark energy is so hard to get a handle on, because you're talking about how things change, and obviously with dark matter, it clumps, and that's nice because that helps you to know something about it. But the dark energy, I understand the simplest idea anyway, is that it's just sort of completely uniform field.
Exactly, yeah.
Does it change in time, or is that something we just don't know?
The baseline theory we have is that it doesn't change in time. It's kind of a uniform, constant effect. That could be wrong, and that's one of the things we're testing. We should certainly hope to get fairly powerful constraints on that question in our 5 years of data, not with our early data, but with our future data. We're going to sort of measure, has dark energy changed with time, or is it a kind of static effect? But yeah, it's also, is there clustering in dark energy as well? We've always assumed there isn't. You can sort of write down mathematical models whether it does cluster in some way, or it does things. The theorists tend to hate those things, but the observers think, well, fair enough, you know, most things cluster, why shouldn't this? So we're going to test that kind of model as well, yeah. But yeah, like you say, it's a very hard thing to get a handle on. You know, it took a very long time, only to the 90s, when this was really discovered as an effect. It's very hard to get hold of because it happens only on the biggest scales as well. The amount of dark energy in this room between you and me is absolutely minuscule. It's nothing. You know, it's undetectable compared to the amount of ordinary matter there is, even though that makes up only a small fraction overall. It's just the fact that it fills the whole universe, and everywhere that we think is even empty space, it actually has all this dark energy in. So it's only really on the very, very largest scales where dark energy has any effect whatsoever, which is why we need these kind of massive surveys that look a very, very long way away. We have to map a big chunk of the universe to be able to detect these kind of effects.
Fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to more of the results over the next few years. It sounds like it's going to gradually become more and more precise in the measurements.
Exactly.
And perhaps you'll come back for a third job bite at some point and tell us how it's going.
I'd love that. Thank you very much.